So it's really lovely to be talking with you here this morning. If you don't know me, my name is Kerry, and I've been part of St James's for a couple of years now. I also work for the Diocese of Carlisle as their Programme and Strategy Manager. So if you have heard about the Godfall Vision Refresh, I've been very much involved in that. And today we are continuing our series on church as a people of. In the first week, Simon talked about what is church and talked about the different images of church. And last week, Julie talked about church as a people of partnership. So what it means to be in relationship with each other and with God, how each person is equally valued and relied upon. We're all part of one body. And as we've heard this morning, we're talking now about church as a people of praise. And I wonder, when people talk about praise, what that means to you. Perhaps there is a particular song or hymn that really sticks out to you. Perhaps when you think of praise, you think of your favourite choir or worship group singing it. Maybe there's a particular service or prayer or moment in your life where faith was just really impacted because of praise and worship. But what does it mean when we join together as a people of praise? Why should Christians worship together? Well, this morning I'm just going to explore sort of five short ideas about what I think we can learn about being a people of praise and what that means. So the first idea that I want to talk about is praise as a privilege. And I think the slides will just go along as I'm talking. So Dwight Moody, D.L. Moody, was an American evangelist in the 19th century. And he said this: "It is our great privilege to know that we are saved. God, the creator of the universe, wants us to know him, wants us to have a relationship with him. You know, God reached out to humanity so all could know him by sending his son Jesus. What a privilege that is. God revealed himself to us as humans, and we are able to join together to worship him, you know, the creator, the author, the perfecter of our faith. And not only that, but in our society, we also experience a freedom to meet, and there is so much privilege in that. I think over the last 12 to 15 months, we've all felt, to varying levels and at varying times, the loss of not meeting together. But what if that was our reality every week of every year? Where just by being Christian, you're in danger of being imprisoned, of being tortured, or worse. You know, that is a reality for some Christians all around the world. And here in the UK, we have an incredible privilege and the freedom to meet. And yes, recently that has been online. But we still have the freedom to do that, whether that's been on a physical platform or a digital one. You know, it's both a privilege to worship God in the knowledge of salvation, and a privilege to have the freedom to be here without fear too. And I would encourage you, if you are interested in finding out more about the persecuted church, then I would talk to and look at Open Doors, which is a Christian charity that works with persecuted Christians around the world. So the second idea I wanted to explore is that of adoration. You know, both talks in the last couple of weeks have touched on this idea and talked about this idea of church being family. We're part of a family of believers as church, brothers and sisters trying to live out our faith together. Now, I had three older siblings growing up, and with it came all of the usual things, the laughter, the squabbles, the occasional practical joke. And I recognise that not everybody may have had easy relationships or childhoods with their families, and I'm really grateful for the memories that I do have. One of the things my family did was play a lot of board games. And sometimes it could get a little competitive, and to me it almost felt like you'd already won if you managed to get the colour or the playing piece that you wanted to. So I knew it was going to be a good game if I was able to be the dog in Monopoly rather than having to play the iron. But you know, in verse 6 of our passage today, it talks about Jesus being the cornerstone for believers. And the cornerstone is, in the building, is the most important stone. It's the one that all other stones are set in reference to. The foundation and the guidance for the whole building. We are here to worship and give praise to the very reason for our being, the privilege of our salvation, God. There's a Westminster Catechism which simply states, man's chief end is to glorify God. And yes, we're family as church. We're brothers and sisters with all of the laughter and, dare I say, squabbles that come with that. And maybe I'll even get to play Monopoly and be a dog with some of you at some point. But church is not just a social club. We're not just another charity doing good deeds. Everything we do out of our being should be in reference to Jesus. That's what binds this family together. Everything else we do, which is fantastic, you know, helping others, giving our time, our skills, being in relationship with one another, flows from our worship and praise to God, out of our adoration to God, and living out this relationship with God together. And that actually brings me on to my third idea, which is about being identifiable. A physical church building has, I think, and I'm very happy if people have other ideas too, but I think it has two main purposes as a physical building. One is to be locatable, and the other is to be public. And we have a beautiful building here at St. James's. If you just want to stretch your head and take a look around, maybe find your favourite, you know, stained glass window or particular piece of architecture. Or if you're listening online, maybe have a look at the building or structure that you're in at the moment. One thing that I hope you will notice, and I think it's probably more on the outside as well as inside, is that there are many hundreds, probably even thousands of bricks, maybe even tens of thousands, that form this building. And just as you cannot build a church building with just one stone, you can't build a church family with just one person. We are identified as church by our togetherness. And there is something special about that togetherness when we worship and praise God, however that might manifest itself. And Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. We are the living temple and Jesus is the cornerstone, as the passage said this morning. We are purposely identifying ourselves as God's people through our togetherness. You know, I came to faith as a teenager in a Pentecostal church, and during my time there, the church built a new building, but we had to vacate the old building before the new one was done. So we had a time where we were buildingless, and we were meeting in house groups or just other places. And when the shell of that new building was ready, the church gathered to pray and to just look over the new building. You know, we had hard hats and hammers. It was literally just a shell. But in that moment, many people started to sing out in worship to God. And I cannot describe, and by that I mean I don't have the words to articulate, the sense of holiness that overtook that moment. God's people joining together to sing and worship for the first time in a number of months. You know, I'm very much looking forward to the first moment we raise our voices together. I love that we have a fantastic worship group, and I love that we can sing outside as well at the 10 o'clock service. But I believe it will be a really special moment when all of the living stones come together in God's building to lift up their voices in praise. So the fourth idea I wanted to explore is that of sacrifice. So when we come together as a worshipping community, as a church, there is something sacrificial in its nature. It's a sacrifice, you know, to give our finances, to give our time, to give our skills. And sometimes it's a physical sacrifice to just sit or to stand. And recently, you know, it might have been a sacrifice to try and learn new technologies to stay connected online. And we all know that maintaining and building relationships take work. You know, family takes time, it takes effort, it takes love. And the part of being a family is sacrificial. You know, we might not always agree about how things should be done, best time to meet, what songs to sing. You know, and church is definitely not perfect. Sometimes people just don't naturally click together. But we sacrifice this time to come together to worship the one who gave everything for us. And our ultimate act of worship, the communion that we have together as a family of believers, reminds us of ultimate sacrifice paid for by Jesus. You know, we take communion to remind ourselves of Jesus' death on the cross and the sacrifice that he made for us all. And verse 5 in the passage today reminds us that it's through Jesus' sacrifice that our worship is actually acceptable to God. So I want to talk now about the final idea I had about being a people of praise, and that is being evangelistic. I mentioned previously that from our worship flows everything else. We don't worship Jesus to fit him around our lives. Part of our worship to him is us telling others about what he has done in our lives and who he is. You know, and in essence, that is being evangelistic. And sometimes that can take a bit of standing out or feeling a bit different to those we come across or those in our lives. But when we do, it's not only an act of worship to God, it's also a real encouragement to everybody around us. You know, to our church family, hearing about how God is changing lives. And sometimes it's really hard to know where to start. I'm truly glad that we talked about the Thy Kingdom Come, because there's some excellent resources in Thy Kingdom Come to help people just get to talk about prayer and to think about what evangelism means for them. Because sometimes even the word evangelism can seem off-putting. And one way that I've found, there's just a really simple way, and I found really helpful, is just to pray a simple prayer to invite God to be part of my day. So, you know, no big fanfares, no 8-point mission plan, but to simply pray, God, please would you show me more of you? Help me to share who you are with others today. Telling others about Jesus, you know, doing mission, shouldn't be a separate part of our lives, but part of who we are and how we live, both as individuals and as a family of believers. And we see that in example after example after example of how Jesus lived his life. You know, showing others in the Gospels who he was, who Jesus was, wasn't a separate or segregated part of his life. It was simply part of his whole being and how he taught his disciples to live. So in a moment, I am going to draw this talk to a close, but I wanted to leave you with a final thought. Recently, I did an online escape room. It was for the first time. I've never done one in person before. And I thought, maybe, I don't know if this is a big headache or not, but I just thought I'd be quite good at it. I thought, you know what, my brain, it will work that way. It'll be absolutely fine. I'll be a great asset to the team. I was absolutely terrible. I was completely wrong. My brain just didn't have the right kind of lateral thinking that was needed to help work out these clues. And, you know, it was more of a humbling moment. But for those of you who like clues, who like puzzles, may have noticed that there's been a pattern to the ideas that I have shared. You know, privilege, adoration, identity, sacrifice, and evangelism. They're actually an acronym of the word praise. Each idea has an individual purpose, and I've talked about them quite individually, yes. But together they form something so much greater than themselves. We each have our individual relationship with God. Some of you may be at the start of that relationship. Some of you may feel like you don't have one at all, or that you've been a Christian for a number of years, living out faith for decades. But when we come together and worship to God, we form something greater than our individual parts. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And as 1 Peter is simply put in the passage today, we are the people of God.